This morning on WCHL, commissioners put plans for an Orange County fair on hold indefinitely last night.
Sure, it'd be fun. It's a great idea, but it costs too much right now. That's why I'm having a problem with it.
The death toll due to the flu in North Carolina has increased to 33.
Clear information about why this particular virus affects younger people more.
And Hillsborough police are seeking information about two recent armed robberies committed within 3 days of each other. These stories and more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, Carolina women's basketball is rolling. Hear how the Tar Heels got a win last night in Winston-Salem in the Atlantic Coast Conference. A Tar Heel football player is in trouble. And
how did Vince Young lose $50 million in 8 years?
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL, we have 21 degrees. We have a wind chill advisory in effect until 9 o'clock this morning. It's going to be sunny today and cold. High today only in the upper 20s, and when the wind's blowing, it seems a lot colder. Our wind chill values down around zero this morning in some spots. We should tell you right away that there is one school delay to talk about this morning. We have a winter weather school delay update from Chatham County. In the Chatham County school system, students are on a two-hour delay today. Otherwise, everything is normal. At a meeting of the Board of Trustees on Thursday, UNC Chancellor Carol Folt said the university accepts responsibility for past misdeeds regarding academic oversight. But she also said she supports UNC's current course of action to ensure those misdeeds don't recur in the future. WCHL's Aaron Keck reports.
We're saying very directly that we understand it, we accept responsibility for it. At the same time, we're putting in immense effort to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Among other things, it refers to the anomalous and phony classes offered during a period of more than a decade in the African and Afro-American Studies Department. Former Department Chair Julius Nyangoro has already been indicted in connection with those classes. District Attorney Jim Woodall says more indictments may be yet to come. It's still an open question whether those courses were created solely to provide athletes with an easy grade to maintain their eligibility. UNC has avoided additional NCAA sanctions because there's no direct evidence of that being the case, but Folt said either way, the problem was larger than that.
Although we don't have evidence that the anomalous courses were initiated in order to benefit athletes, close to half who did enroll were student athletes. Many students were involved in those courses. All of those students who were involved in those courses deserved better from us.
Afterwards, speaking to reporters, Folt went even further.
Courses that have no faculty oversight, that's a real betrayal of our commitment to our students.
And she said that betrayal was the result of a long-term failure in academic oversight.
This, too, was wrong, and it has undermined our integrity and our reputation, and it's created a very unhealthy atmosphere of distrust.
That atmosphere of distrust, of course, came to the surface in the last few weeks in the emotional response to academic advisor Mary Willingham's assertion that many UNC athletes read below an eighth grade level and that officials in the Academic Support Center turned a blind eye to evidence of phony classes and plagiarism. High-ranking UNC officials, including Folt, spoke out vehemently against Willingham at a faculty council meeting last week. Provost Jim Dean called her research a travesty. But the attacks also got personal as well, as Willingham says she even received death threats after going public with her concerns earlier this month. In response to that, Folt sent an email to the campus community this week calling for civility, a call she reiterated on Thursday.
This type of dialogue is essential to a university community. But whether we're going to agree or disagree, we have to really make this a healthy debate. We have to welcome it, and we have to respect each other in this debate and do it in ways that show the true character of our Carolina community.
While she discussed the AFAM scandal in more detail, Folt had little to say about Willingham's charges, which have occupied the more recent headlines.
We have an external panel coming forward, and we'll talk to you about it when that's complete.
Still, Folt did insist that Willingham was still welcome at Carolina.
She absolutely is continuing her work. The studies you've read have not been part of her a job here.
The central message of the meeting, though, is that UNC officials and the Board of Trustees support what the university is doing now to address the ongoing issues surrounding academics and athletics. That includes a working group led by Provost Dean and Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham, Board Chair Larry Caudill.
Our board expectation is straightforward. We want to compete academically and athletically at the highest levels with utmost integrity. We are pleased that our improvements over the past several years and our current efforts are leading to a sustainable approach.
After the meeting, Chancellor Folt agreed.
There isn't a faculty member or a staff member or people that are part of this that don't want to get it right.
Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
There's more news from the university in just a few minutes here. Many UNC employees still upset over last fall's data breach. We'll give you an update on that coming up in just a few minutes with Rachel Nash. Orange County commissioners put plans for an Orange County fair on hold last night indefinitely, citing concerns about cost. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
Local food, crafts, music, an agricultural expo, and a midway. These were some of the plans laid out by a work group that spent the last 6 months exploring the idea of hosting an Orange County Fair. But last night, commissioners voted 4-3 to put those plans on ice.
Sure, it'd be fun. It's a great idea, but it costs too much right now. That's why I'm having a problem with it.
That's Commissioner Alice Gordon. She, along with Bernadette Pellissier, Penny Rich, and Earl McKee, argued the potential $189,000 price tag to plan the event was too high. Despite assurances from the work group, the fair would likely break even. The work group proposed a two-day event in the spring of 2015 at the Blackwood Farm between Chapel Hill and Hillsboro. They estimated funding would come from event partners, corporate sponsors, local governments, and donations. But Commissioner Pellissier questioned if the budget put forward by the work group was realistic. Commissioner McKee said the county can't afford to take on new projects at a time when schools are relying on more local dollars to compensate for state funding cuts.
Part of our responsibilities are to make hard decisions. Every good idea does not have to be moved forward. I'm not saying that this is a bad idea. It probably is a good idea if there were not other considerations for me that are overriding considerations, and education overrides everything.
Commissioners Mark Dorison, Barry Jacobs, and Renee Price supported the fair concept, saying it would build community throughout the county. Dorison said he's been hearing from people interested in the fair idea since he first suggested it during his 2012 campaign.
Why I believe this is important is because there is not something that is for the entire county, and that's what this would be. Everything about this is to focus on the local, to celebrate it, to highlight it, and also to show it off beyond the county.
Former Carrboro Mayor Mark Chilton and current board candidate Mark Markopoulos also spoke in favor of the plan. Markopoulos urged commissioners not to get hung up on the logistics early in the process.
I'm definitely pro-fair. I think it's a great idea. It would be a great celebration of the county's businesses, its agriculture, its history, its culture, its dance and music. It would be plain fun. And I think that's a hard thing to measure.
Nonetheless, the board voted not to continue planning efforts or hire a consultant to vet the work group's plans. While the current plan was scuttled last night, the board could revisit the topic of future funding for a county fair during the budget planning process later this spring. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Though the Orange County Board of Elections is struggling to find a site for on-campus early voting, members are adamant they're not trying to limit student turnout. Kathy Knight is the board chair. She says the three members are focused on the logistics of the state's new voting laws, not partisan politics.
They're going out of our way to try to keep something close to campus. We have other sites that we could go to, but they're too far off campus. We have put out through the university, through the students, trying to come up with a place that is accessible for students and the public. So where that came up that we didn't want it for the students, I don't know.
Rams Head Dining Hall was last year's on-campus early voting site, but Knight says it's not an option moving forward.
We have problems with Rams Head. We have to have so many hours. They all have to be open the same hours. You have ball games on Saturday, which means we wouldn't be able to be open because we wouldn't have the parking. So there's more than one problem with Rams Head.
The board is trying to comply with the provisions of the voting bill passed by the Republican-led General Assembly last summer. Under the new law, the length of the early voting period is shortened from 17 to 19 days, but sites are required to remain open the same total number of hours. All sites in the county must have identical schedules to provide the option of curbside voting. With Rams Head out of the running, the board is looking at the North Carolina Hillel Center as a possible site. Past early voting locations such as Morehead Planetarium Auditorium and University Square are no longer available due to recent or ongoing renovations. The board struggled to find a spot for an on-campus early voting, has drawn scrutiny and criticism from those who say Republicans elsewhere are actively working to limit student turnout. Matt Hughes is chair of the Orange County Democratic Party. He says he's seen a statewide push to disenfranchise young voters.
It's undeniable that youth voters tend to vote Democratic, and I think that's at play. And I think there are those, and not in our Board of Election staff, who really would like to see the youth vote curtailed. And I think there is a coordinated effort across the state to do just that. And it's evident whether you're talking about Watauga County or in Forsyth County or down east in Elizabeth City.
But he's not sure that's what's at play among Orange County board members.
I don't believe that our local Board of Elections is seeking to curtail the youth vote, but we do need to make sure that we're offering good customer service to our voters in making elections more accessible.
A recent change in the makeup of the Orange County Elections Board is fanning the flames of suspicion among local Democrats, as a three-member board is now Republican-dominated for the first time in 20 years. That's because local boards of election are appointed by the State Board of Elections, and those appointments are made by the governor. Currently, all 100 county elections boards are comprised of one Democrat and two Republicans. Jamie Cox is the lone Democrat on the Orange County Board. He also rejects the notion that local board members are trying to limit student access to early voting.
We have a strong history, certainly over my two terms on the board, but also going back several years of bipartisan cooperation in the county. And you know, I see that continuing this year.
But Cox acknowledges that reaching out to student voters while accommodating these new rules is proving to be difficult.
It is a bit like piecing a puzzle together, trying to find a site that is close in proximity, but also allows us to provide curbside voting, as well as provide parking for, you know, members of the that are not affiliated with campus or perhaps, you know, don't get around by bicycle or walking or bus.
Both Knight and Cox say they need help from the public to identify potential new sites for early voting on or near UNC's campus. And with a mid-March deadline to submit those sites to the State Board of Elections for approval, time is running out. The Board of Elections will meet February 4th to narrow down its list of early voting sites for the May primary. WCHO News Time is 7:18. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. Now, Dream Service as far as traffic is concerned, from Rachel Nash.
What a compliment there.
I can't help it.
You're unpredictable, I tell you.
Well, what's happening out there on the roads and the streets and the lanes and the byways?
Guess what? Good news. No accidents to report so far this morning. Everything clear on NC54, 15501, I-40, and the Durham Freeway. But if you do see an accident throughout your morning commute, you can give me a call in the newsroom at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL and be a WCHL road warrior. But if you do so, we ask that you do it safely.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So far, you're doing your job. You're keeping things safe out there, and we certainly appreciate that.
I do what I can.
Talk to you in a little while. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather brought to you this morning by the new Pita Grill, an exciting place to go. The Pita Grill is locally and family-owned. Pita Grill's Egyptian influence on Mediterranean cuisine creates a taste that you're going to crave. Pita Grill, located in Timberline Shopping Center. Pita Grill is perfect for lunch or dinner and is open 7 days a week. 21 degrees in Chapel Hill, a wind chill advisory in effect until 9 o'clock this morning. When the wind blows, it's really cold. Wind chill value is as low as 2 below this morning. Our high today only in the upper 20s. Tonight we're looking at clear skies and cold and continued windy. Low tonight about 16 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and brisk, not as cool with the highs reaching the low 40s. But still, we'll have those strong winds. Saturday night, clear, cold, and windy. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny, a little warmer with a high in the low 40s. So there you go. That's what we're facing here, as things are definitely on the frigid side today again.
Ron Stunts in the morning and progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 7:20. Many UNC employees are still upset over last fall's data breach, when the personal information housed by the university of more than 6,000 individuals was made accessible to the public because of an oversight. Some have criticized UNC's response to the situation, saying it took too long to notify those who were affected. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
They do not feel secure anymore. Their sense of security in regards to their data has been lost.
That's Charles Streeter, chair of the UNC Employee Forum. He shared the frustrations of his colleagues at a Board of Trustees committee meeting Wednesday, suggesting tighter university-wide ITS-mandated security measures. After an initial investigation, the university found that on July 30th of 2013, during maintenance involving one computer, the safeguards that protected the files against public access were accidentally disabled and published on the internet. The files that were exposed for almost 4 months contained the information, such as names, social security numbers, and dates of birth of some current and former employees, vendors, and students. A university official learned in November that some of those files were accessible on the internet. Within 2 weeks, Vice Chancellor for Information Chris Kilt said that the files weren't online anymore. Kilt said that it was a, quote, honest mistake and that the data was, quote, old and forgotten. The university began notifying the people whose information was leaked in December. Streeter criticized the speed with which UNC communicated the leak and questioned why the issue was not immediately brought to the attention of the entire university community. He said that some people are still receiving their first notification.
And they all responded, "We're not happy right now because we feel like this is a violation of something that they feel like the university should have, it really should not have happened."
UNC Chancellor Carol Folt offered some consolation about the status of the people whose information was leaked.
"I think it's important to say, too, that right now we have no evidence that any of the data have been used. That is a good thing. That does not mean that we take any less notice of the vigilance required to go forward."
UNC is currently sending out letters offering a one-year subscription to a credit monitoring service at the university's expense. Each person is assigned a unique code that provides access to this credit monitoring service. However, the letters mailed to people on January 10th on behalf of the university included an incorrect code, another source of frustration for employees. Streeter said that many are worried about what happens after the year of free credit monitoring expires and in the future, the possibility of another breach.
"If you get that information and you hold on to it, it could be years down the line, and that's what they're really concerned with. What happens after the 1 year? What happens after I leave the university? What recourse do they have to get any type of assistance for something they did not cause?"
In response to the breach, Kilt said the university has placed greater emphasis on taking inventory of personal information stored in databases across campus. A university-wide review began in early fall. Staff are identifying where sensitive information is stored and are assessing the data, either erasing it if it is no longer necessary, de-identifying it, or securing it. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 7:24, and time for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Fitz Lumber and Hardware. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. UNC linebacker Travis Hughes has been suspended from all team activities due to a misdemeanor assault charge following an altercation with a campus parking enforcement officer. WRAL is reporting. Kevin Best, UNC football team spokesman, confirmed to multiple news outlets the campus police charged Hughes on Thursday morning after the altercation, which happened on the UNC campus. Best said Carolina head football coach Larry Fedora suspended Hughes immediately when he learned of the incident. University police spokesman Randy Young told WRAL in an email that no one was injured during the altercation. Carolina women's basketball team is really on a roll. This time the Tar Heels got a win on the road, escaping Winston-Salem with an Atlantic Coast Conference victory last night over Wake Forest. WCHL's Matt Oakes reports.
The number 7 North Carolina Tar Heel women's basketball team pulled away from the Wake Forest Demon Deacons late in the contest Thursday night to claim an 83-65 victory and improved to 17-3 overall and 5-1. down in ACC play. Freshman Diamond DeShields and Alicia Gray each put up 19 points to lead the Tar Heels to their 11th straight win in the series. With the loss, Wake Forest dropped to 10-9 on the season and 1-5 in conference action. Zelina McDaniel and Stephanie Mavunga added nice contributions of their own at 12 points apiece. Mavunga also nabbed 12 rebounds in the contest, giving her a 10th double-double of the season. Durica Hamby led the scoring charge for the Demon Deacons with 22 points, but it wasn't enough to overcome the Carolina attack. The game was tied until the final minutes with the score tied at 56-56 with 8:22 remaining. Carolina made its final 8 free throws to wrap up the victory, its 12th in the last 13 outings. Wake Forest's 27 turnovers certainly helped the Tar Heel cause. UNC converted those miscues into 35 points. Next up for the Tar Heels is a Thursday night meeting with Syracuse in Carmichael Arena. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Carolina men at home on Sunday to face the Clemson Tigers. And in high school basketball, the Orange Panthers boys basketball team takes its unblemished conference record on the road to Raleigh tonight to take on Big 8 foe Cardinal Gibbons. WCHL's Rand Northam has a story on the Panthers and the Crusaders.
Orange continues to average more than 70 points per game, while Cardinal Gibbons is only averaging close to 54. The Panthers will once again look to push the pace to increase their chances of a win. WCHL Championship Sports travels to Raleigh tonight for the broadcast of Orange and Cardinal Gibbons. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:30 with tip-off scheduled for 7 o'clock. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL Championship Sports Time is 7:26. I'm Rod Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
How did Vince Young lose $50 million in 8 years? This is our Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. I'm not sure why, but local radio was buzzing Thursday over former Texas quarterback Vince Young losing the $50 million he had been paid since being the number 3 pick in the 2006 NFL draft after leading Texas to the national championship. Young was a moderate success in the NFL, but good enough to be paid the $50 million in signing bonuses and salary. He filed for bankruptcy this week, claiming 3 people, including his uncle, a close family friend, and a financial planner from North Carolina, mismanaged his fortune and bilked him into bankruptcy. Hard to believe for a kid who once had it all and was coached by Mac Brown, who supposedly would never let that happen to one of his players. Those who worked with Mac claim what happened at UNC could never happen at Texas, since Brown had so many assistant coaches and grad assistants that every player, his car, clothes, and behavior were constantly monitored. Gone without signing out? Impossible. New wheels that weren't registered with the football office? Not a chance. New threads? Hey, where did you get them? That's why the Vince Young story is so puzzling, since Brown supposedly kept in touch with all of his former players through the family atmosphere he built in 16 years at Austin. Before that, at Carolina, he learned how Dean Smith handled high draft picks and the choices they made. First off, no friend, relative, or even an agent without a squeaky clean resume could get in to see one of Smith's players. Would he have let someone's uncle or friend manage his money? No way. Which is why the great majority of UNC basketball pros have gone on to be financially secure for life. How did Brown lose track of Young, who could have let Mac's wife Sally handle his money and probably double it with her investment touch? First and foremost, it would have been, Vince, put everything you make in the bank and live off an allowance. Of course, Young bought only 4 cars his rookie year with the Tennessee Titans. Why not 5? It is sad that so many former pro athletes, Sports Illustrated claims 78% of them, are broke or in tough financial waters. It's hard to squander the $50 million, and Vince Young must have needed help from all the wrong people. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Hi, this is Roy Williams. One of the principles of good basketball is good rebounding. Without it, you'd never win a game. Even the greatest basketball players miss some shots, but rebounding is like having great insurance. Make sure you're prepared to rebound against life's unforeseen losses. For more than 30 years, the Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency has been a winner. Ted's not much of a basketball player, but you'll be glad that he's on your team.
Let Ted, Pete, and Amy protect your family. The Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency, a 30-year winning record for On Your Side service.
I'm David Fitch of Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Just like on the basketball court, teamwork is what you need to take on any home project. Stop by and team up with Fitch Lumber and Hardware to score big on your upcoming goals. We can help. Get the local home court advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carrboro, or call us at 919-942-3153. And as always, thanks for your business and continuing to make Fitch Lumber and Hardware a family tradition.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Hair Expressions. It's half off. Hair care services at the salon on West Rosemary Street. Get highlights, a shampoo, and style for only $25. Or a shampoo, cut, and style for only $20. And spend only $15 for a men's shampoo, cut, and style. Carol Spangler has been creating hairstyles for over 17 years and says she keeps caring until the client says it's right. It's half off from Hair Expressions. It's available for a limited time. So buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
7:30 at WCHL, your Chapel Hill Carborough weather. First of all, 21 chilly degrees. Wind chill advisory in effect until 9 o'clock this morning. Sunshine today, cold, high today in the upper 20s, that's it. And wind chill values as low as around zero this morning. And more cold weather coming for the weekend, so may as well go ahead and get used to it.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM, WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
Blamed on winter weather.
11 to 15 semi-pileup, several entrapment at this time. We're sending more medic.
A 40-vehicle pileup, including semi-trucks on I-94 in Indiana.
I heard lots of noises, lots of bangs, sound like a big train wreck.
Coroner John Sullivan on what it looks like.
Vehicles totaled, fluids all over the place, hydraulic fluid, hazmat spill with diesel fuel. The hazmat team is on the scene.
At least three confirmed deaths, dozens more injured. I-94 eastbound is still closed at Michigan City. Witnesses are blaming the ice and snow.
Complete whiteout, and it just compounded to this.
And there seems to be no let-up. Meteorologist Mary Kay Kleist.
For the weekend, we have a couple of snow events moving through the Midwest and the Northeast. And after that, wouldn't you know it, another Arctic blast heads our way early next week.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
20 degrees in Chapel Hill, 732 at WCHL. After hearing about weather in other parts of the country, I guess we should be thankful that our weather is no worse than it is. We do have one school delay to report to you this morning. Chatham County students are delayed 2 hours today. Otherwise, everything is normal today. At a meeting of the Board of Trustees on Thursday, UNC Chancellor Carol Folt said the university accepts responsibility for past misdeeds regarding academic oversight, but she also said she supports UNC's current course of action to ensure those misdeeds don't happen again. And WCHL's Aaron Keck has more on the story.
We're saying very directly that we understand it, we accept responsibility for it. At the same time, we're putting in immense effort to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Among other things, it refers to the anomalous and phony classes offered during a period of more than a decade in the African and Afro-American Studies Department. Former Department Chair Julie Snyngoro has already been indicted in connection with those classes. District Attorney Jim Woodall says more indictments may be yet to come. It's still an open question whether those courses were created solely to provide athletes with an easy grade to maintain their eligibility. UNC has avoided additional NCAA sanctions because there's no direct evidence of that being the case, but Folt said either way, the problem was larger than that.
Although we don't have evidence that the anomalous courses were initiated in order to benefit athletes, close to half who did enroll were student athletes. Many students were involved in those courses. All of those students who were involved in those courses deserved better from us.
Afterwards, speaking to reporters, Folt went even further.
Courses that have no faculty oversight, that's a real betrayal of our commitment to our students.
And she said that betrayal was the result of a long-term failure in academic oversight.
This, too, was wrong, and it has undermined our integrity and our reputation, and it's created a very unhealthy atmosphere of distrust.
That atmosphere of distrust, of course, came to the surface in the last few weeks in the emotional response to academic advisor Mary Willingham's assertion that many UNC athletes read below an eighth grade level and that officials in the Academic Support Center turned a blind eye to evidence of phony classes and plagiarism. High-ranking UNC officials, including Folt, spoke out vehemently against Willingham at a faculty council meeting last week. Provost Jim Dean called her research a travesty. But the attacks also got personal as well, as Willingham says she even received death threats after going public with her concerns earlier this month. In response to that, Folt sent an email to the campus community this week calling for civility, a call she reiterated on Thursday.
This type of dialogue is essential to a university community. But whether we're going to agree or disagree, we have to really make this a healthy debate. We have to welcome it, and we have to respect each other in this debate and do it in ways that show the true character of our Carolina community.
While she discussed the AFAM scandal in more detail, Folt had little to say about Willingham's charges, which have occupied the more recent headlines.
We have an external panel coming forward, and we'll talk to you about it when that's complete.
Still, Folt did insist that Willingham was still welcome at Carolina.
She absolutely is continuing her work. The studies you've read have not been part of her job here.
The central message of the meeting, though, is that UNC officials and the Board of Trustees support what the university is doing now to address the ongoing issues surrounding academics and athletics. That includes a working group led by Provost Dean and Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham, Board Chair Larry Cottle.
Our board expectation is straightforward. We want to compete academically and athletically at the highest levels with utmost integrity. We are pleased that our improvements over the past several years and our current efforts are leading to a sustainable approach.
After the meeting, Chancellor Folt agreed.
There isn't a faculty member or a staff member or people that are part of this that don't want to get it right.
Aaron Keck, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
No Orange County Fair, at least not now. Commissioners put plans for an Orange County Fair on hold last night indefinitely, citing concerns about how much it would cost. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more.
Local food, crafts, music, an agricultural expo, and a midway. These were some of the plans laid out by a work group that spent the last 6 months exploring the idea of hosting an Orange County Fair. But last night, commissioners voted 4-3 to put those plans on ice.
Sure, it'd be fun. It's a great idea, but it costs too much right now. That's why I'm having a problem with it.
That's Commissioner Alice Gordon. She, along with Bernadette Pellissier, Penny Rich, and Earl McKee, argued the potential $189,000 price tag to plan the event was too high. Despite assurances from the work group, the fair would likely break even. The work group proposed a two-day event in the spring of 2015 at the Blackwood Farm between Chapel Hill and Hillsboro. The estimated funding would come from event partners, corporate sponsors, local governments, and donations. But Commissioner Pellissier questioned if the budget put forward by the work group was realistic. Commissioner McKee said the county can't afford to take on new projects at a time when schools are relying on more local dollars to compensate for state funding cuts.
Part of our responsibilities are to make hard decisions. Every good idea does not have to be moved forward. I'm not saying that this is a bad idea. It probably is a good idea if there were not other considerations for me that are overriding considerations, and education overrides everything.
Commissioners Mark Dorison, Barry Jacobs, and Renee Price supported the fair concept, saying it would build community throughout the county. Dorison said he's been hearing from people interested in the fair idea since he first suggested it during his 2012 campaign.
Why I believe this is important is because there is not something that is for the entire county, and that's what this would be. Everything about this is to focus on the local, to celebrate it, to highlight it, and also to show it off beyond the county.
Former Carrboro Mayor Mark Chilton and current board candidate Mark Markopoulos also spoke in favor of the plan. Markopoulos urged commissioners not to get hung up on the logistics early in the process.
I'm definitely pro-fair. I think it's a great idea. It would be a great celebration of the county's businesses, its agriculture, its history, its culture, its dance and music. It would be plain fun. And I think that's a hard thing to measure.
Nonetheless, the board voted not to continue planning efforts or hire a consultant to vet the work group's plans. While the current plan was scuttled last night, the board could revisit the topic of future funding for a county fair during the budget planning process later this spring. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
News around town this morning. If you're still not sure about the new federal health insurance marketplace, UNC Family Medicine is holding a health insurance enroll-a-thon tomorrow from 10 until 3. Officials will be there to answer questions and to help you get enrolled. The event will take place at the UNC Family Medicine Center at 590 Manning Drive. If you'd like more information or to schedule an appointment, visit uncfamilymedicine.org or look for details in the story on our website, chapelboro.com. WCHL News Time, 7:39. Coming up, we're going to tell you what's happening at chapelboro.com. A lot of activity there. We also have today's commentary in the way from Alan Reimer, who talks about the water quality, the quality of our drinking water in this community. That is up next.
For more than 20 years, the Kennedy Dental Group has established an unbeatable standard of diagnosis, treatment, and dental care for patients at their University Square office. Doctors Jeff Kennedy, a 1984 UNC graduate, Richard Wagner, and newest partner Leland Webb have more than 100 years of experience and continue to be recognized locally in the best dentist category. They look forward to their upcoming relocation to the iconic former WCHL building at the bottom of East Franklin. Franklin Street. Visit KennedyDentalGroup.com to learn more.
If you're over 60 and young at heart, you're looking for more than just a place to live out your years. You're looking for the Cedars of Chapel Hill. Our unique community in Metamot offers you all the independence and financial benefits of owning your own home without all the hassles, so you can pursue other goals and also enjoy the peace of mind of having a continuing health care plan in place. Make your next chapter in life your best chapter. Call us to learn more about the Cedars. Life has been good to you. At the Cedars, it gets even better.
Atlantic Tire and Service, a title sponsor of the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple Giveaway, has three convenient locations in Durham, Cary, and Raleigh, where you can get the best prices on Continental and other name brand tires. Locally owned and operated, Atlantic Tire has built its business on three words: trust, service, commitment. Ask any employee about the secret to their success, and the answer is simple. It's all about customer service. Atlantic Tire strives to make it a comfortable, confident experience. Visit AtlanticTireOnline.com for the Durham, Cary, and Raleigh location nearest you.
Our lovely community is not immune to domestic violence. On average, four domestic violence victims call the Sheriff's Department every night in Orange County. The Beacon program invites the community to join them for the 9th annual Silent No More auction on February 6th at 5:30 at the Carolina Club. Call 919-697-9183 for more information or visit their website, beaconsilentauction.com. You can help fight domestic violence through being advocates, volunteers, and financial supporters. Purchase a ticket for $55 in advance or $60 at the door.
741 at WCHL, 21 degrees. Let me just say it and get it out of the way. Cold enough for you? Oh, boy. Rand Northam is bundled up warm somewhere. He's coming in a little bit later on, of course. Yeah, I hope so. He needs to. He deserves it. Rachel Nash is here today. And Rachel, first of all, thanks for all your hard work in the newsroom. And second of all, what's happening at ChapelBro.com today?
Lots happening at ChapelBro. Right now, Zach, our editor at ChapelBro, Zach Goodwin, has a review of Deepak's performance of Once. Have you seen that?
I have not. I was going to the other night and then didn't get a chance to do that. But I understand it's quite good.
He calls it a simple pleasure, and I got a chance to go with him with his extra ticket, and I really enjoyed it. It's not your he'll talk about this in the review, but it's not your typical Broadway production. It's very simple in a way, yet complex, but highly recommended. It's based on a movie which came out around 2007, which was really good as well. So,
well, you're not going to see anything bad at Deepak.
No, really. No. It's such a beautiful venue.
It really is.
So anyways, check out that review, and then Photo Gallery's Up Lunchbox Concert Series, Blood Drive at Piedmont Electric, Elizabeth Spencer at Flyleaf, and if you want to remember UNC's clobbering by UVA, you can check that out.
No,
I think we're trying to move past that, but anyways, it's up.
Yeah, we got the streak on Sunday, of course, Carolina hosting Clemson. And Clemson has never won in Chapel Hill. Never.
So let's keep it that way.
We got to keep that streak going, but I'm kind of worried this time. You know?
I am too.
Oh, boy. But we've said that sometimes in the past, and the Tar Heels somehow come through. But
right.
They got to play well. They certainly do.
And then also we have a new contest up where you can fill out brackets for your favorite restaurants in Chapel Hill. So I filled mine out yesterday, and there are some hard decisions.
Really tough choices, because we have so many great restaurants around here.
And it reminds me that I need to check out more restaurants as well, because some of them I hadn't actually been to. So there's so much to eat in Chapel Hill.
Well, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you in just a few minutes and get a look at traffic.
Sounds good.
744 at WCHL.
And now WCHL presents the Commentators.
This is Alan Reimer, Chairman of the Board of Directors of OWASA, Orange Water and Sewer Authority. Ron graciously provided me this opportunity to discuss our local water supply, which I thought timely, as we've all heard about the tragedy of the contaminated water supply in Charleston in West Virginia. As many listeners know, OWASA is the Carrboro-Chapel Hill community's publicly owned, nonprofit water, wastewater, and reclaimed water utility. We have three water supplies: Cane Creek Reservoir, University Lake, and the Quarry Reservoir, which is west of Carrboro. As you can imagine, protecting water in our lakes is the first line of defense in ensuring a high-quality drinking water supply. It's much better to keep pollutants out of lakes than to remove them later. Through the cooperation of all the local governments, the density and impact of development in our watersheds are limited by some of the most progressive watershed zoning, streamside buffer requirements, and impervious surface limits in North Carolina. As a matter of fact, in the South. Most new residential development is limited to one residence per 5 acres, and industrial development is not permitted. These standards reduce the potential of contaminants ever reaching our reservoirs. Water treatment is also important. We filter and disinfect the water from our reservoirs to drinking water quality at our Jones Ferry Road Water Treatment Plant in Carrboro, where we monitor the quality of the drinking water with some 40,000 tests annually. This ensures it is safe to pump through a network of about 400 miles of pipe. In an emergency, interconnections are available with Durham, Hillsborough, the Northern Chatham County Water Systems, and Cary. If necessary, Owosso can receive enough drinking water from these sources to meet the average daily needs of the community under most conditions. Our hope is that this information will assure the customers of Owosso that our water supply is highly protected and designed to avoid the type of tragedy Charleston recently experienced. If you want some additional information, check out our website at owosso.org. This is Alan Reimer.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
746 at WCHL. Just got a call from a listener, and thank you so much, because we have a problem with our thermometer this morning. I was saying just a few moments ago that it was 21 degrees. It's actually 13 degrees right now, so it's a lot colder than even I thought it was out there. 13 degrees this morning in Chapel Hill. Boy, it is really chilly, and I checked several sources, and that's the accurate temperature right now. So stay warm, bundle up, take a blanket in your car, make sure you have one if you don't have one in there already, in case of an emergency of some kind. 747 at WCHL, your full forecast coming up, along with a look at your Chapel Hill Carrboro traffic right after this.
As bright fall days slide into frosty winter nights, the good cooking at Glass Half Full Restaurant and Wine Bar will warm your soul. How about a bowl of savory lentil soup to chase the chill? Freshly rolled beet pasta makes splendid lasagna. Does duck confit or braised lamb shank with root vegetables pair nicely with a glass of assertive red wine? Cold weather makes me hungry. Come to Glass Half Full in downtown Carrboro for lunch or dinner and see what's cooking now.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Meet the brokers at Weaver Street Realty. Bill Mullen and Don Basnight are both native Chapel Hillians who've seen our community through a half century of changes. Their advice is gold. Louise Barnum moves easily from muddy boots to city shoes in her pursuit to meet her clients' needs. Jay Parker is the broker in charge, having developed a loyal client base in 30 years of business. Gary Phillips and Clayton Nell are the oldest and youngest members of the team, combining experience and intelligence to bring a fresh perspective to every situation. Check them all out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
Good morning, it's 7:48 at WCHL. Time now for traffic and weather together. And traffic brought to you by Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54, where you can register to win UNC Duke basketball tickets by liking them on their Facebook page. That's all you have to do. Enter now for a chance to win. And also check out other special offers from Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54. Now with your morning traffic, here is Rachel Nash.
Good morning. Watch out for some congestion building on I-40 eastbound just past Barbie Road. Looks like it's starting to get a little slow out there. But otherwise, all clear on NC 54, 15501 in the Durham Freeway. And if you see anything else throughout your morning commute or during the day, you can give me a call in the newsroom at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL and be a WCHL road warrior. But if you do so, we ask that you do it safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
As I mentioned earlier, a little malfunction with the thermometer this morning. Earlier, not a wardrobe malfunction, but a malfunction with the Mercury. It is actually 13 degrees this morning in Chapel Hill. Boy, it is cold. Wind chill advisory in effect until 9 o'clock this morning. And it may seem that it's as cold as zero today because of the winds out there. We do have some wind chill values that are coming into play. Same thing goes for tonight. Tonight, clear and cold with a low around 16. Today's high only in the upper 20s, by the way. Saturday, a little warmer, not as cool, highs in the low 40s, mostly cloudy skies, though, and we'll still have the winds. By Sunday, we'll be just a plain old mostly sunny with a high in the low 40s, so a little bit better then. 7:50 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wayne Pond joins us now, and time to polish up the old vocabulary just a bit.
Hey, I'll try 12 degrees.
12 degrees at your house?
Yeah.
My goodness.
We got the deep freeze in Deep Chatham, huh?
Yeah, exactly, man. It's amazingly cold out there. But, yeah. You know, I hear these stories on CBS about what's going on in other parts of the country, in the Midwest and the Northeast and everything, and it's just, We should thank our lucky stars that it's not any colder than it is.
Our lucky stars and all our household gods. let's throw them in, too.
Exactly.
You're right, pal. All right, well, listen, I got a dandy for you this morning. You've heard of the actress, the TV comedian, Tina Fey.
Oh, sure. I love Tina Fey.
F-E-Y, Tina. Her last name is F-E-Y. Well, this is a word, actually. Not only does it serve as one particular person or family's last name, Fey has a fascinating history. As a word all unto itself. F-E-Y, that is the word of the day. It is an adjective in this case. The wordsmith here has a wonderful turn of phrase. He says, here's a word that defies its own definition. Now, I will leave it, Ron, to you in your sober moments to spend a few quiet moments with the Oxford English Dictionary and look all of that up. But
I do that on a daily basis anyway.
He's lying through his teeth again there. All right, well, Fey, for our purposes, moves just kind of all over the map. It can mean crazy or insane. It can mean somebody whose behavior is marked by an otherworldly air or attitude. It can mean somebody who is excessively precious or refined, you know, the way you get prissy all the time at all those award ceremonies they throw for you, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. And it can also mean quaintly unconventional. Now, there's the real Ron Stutz, quaintly unconventional.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. I thought you'd appreciate it. But Fey is, as I mentioned, just a great little word that just moves in many directions at once. F-E-Y.
Mm-hmm.
It is an adjective. Ron, I want you to go home and study this word and work on it.
I think all that applies to Tina Fey as well.
Well, I think that's a fair statement.
Pretty much.
All right.
Hey, listen, thanks, buddy.
Stay warm.
Yeah, you too.
Have a good weekend.
You too, buddy. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 7:53.
It's Friday. Time now for the clean joke on WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz, along with Lauren Stafford. And today is a very special joke, right, Lauren?
It is. It's the
end of our contest.
That's right. It's the 10th and final clean joke submission we got from all of you out in the community. We asked you to send us your funniest clean joke. You did. We picked the top 10, and we're reading the last one today.
Yeah, out of the 9 we've had so far, we've had some that were really good.
Right.
Some that just, I was rolling on the floor practically.
Yes.
And others, if that's your best joke, maybe we might want to rethink this thing.
True.
But I can't wait to find out what today's
exactly.
is.
And keep in mind, just because you and I might have thought a joke was funny or not funny, doesn't mean, you know, you feel the same. So make sure after today's joke, starting at noon today, all 10 audio jokes are up. All the audio files of the jokes are up on chapelroyal.com on the Clean Joke Contest test page, and we're asking you to go back, take a listen to them to remind yourself, and then vote on which one's your favorite.
Well, we really want to know what you think,
exactly.
Because we don't get to vote.
We do not
it's
get
not
to vote.
Not our decision
no,
at all.
To you. Right.
Yes,
exactly.
We chose the ones to put on the air, but no matter what our reaction was on the air, whether I laughed or groaned or whatever the case may be, or whatever Lauren felt about it, it doesn't matter.
It's up to you.
It only matters what you think.
You got to help us find a winner. All right.
Well, who's the last one?
The last one to round us out, Pat Evans.
Pat Evans.
That's right.
Friends of Downtown Chapel Hill.
Exactly. So thanks, Pat.
All right.
You're going to be our last joke. All right.
All right. I can't wait.
A Jewish man was leaving a convenience store with his espresso when he noticed a most unusual Italian funeral procession approaching the nearby cemetery. A black hearse was followed by a second black hearse about 50 feet behind the first one.
Uh-huh.
Behind the second hearse was a solitary Italian man walking a dog on a leash.
Okay.
Behind him, a short distance back, were about 200 men walking single file.
Wow.
It's a long procession.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder about this thing.
The man couldn't stand the curiosity of the spectacle. He respectfully approached the Italian man walking the dog and said, "I'm so sorry for your loss, and this may be a bad time to disturb you, but I've never seen an Italian funeral like this. Whose funeral is it?" He replied, "My wife's." "What happened to her?" "Well, she yelled at me, and my dog attacked and killed her."
Wow.
He inquired further, "But who is in the second hearse?" The Italian man answered, "My mother-in-law. She was trying to help my wife when the dog turned on her." A very poignant and touching moment of Jewish and Italian brotherhood and silence passed between the two men. The Jewish man then asked, "Can I borrow the dog?" The Italian man replied, "Get in line." That's awful.
It's awful, but goodness. Funny.
It is.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Katie Early is today's WCHL hometown hero. And, Katie, I understand that you received what pretty much amounts to a Lifetime Achievement Award from Planned Parenthood.
I was recognized by Planned Parenthood of Central North Carolina with the Margaret Sanger Award, recognition that represents leadership and excellence in supporting reproductive health and rights.
Now, you work with IPAS, Director of Development there, and Katie, you've been there for a long time, haven't you?
I started with IPAS in 1980 and have been there most of my professional life. I've had a couple of breaks for other parts of my life, but it's been a wonderful place to be.
Why is it so important to you to put in such a lifetime of achievement with this particular organization?
Well, Ron, IPAS is an organization that works globally to ensure that women have the right to access safe abortion when they need it, and to link to other reproductive health services. It's important to me because I have lived in the developing world several different times in my life and have seen firsthand what it means to not have access to fundamental rights and services. I think we see that same condition here at home often, but it's been an opportunity to make sure that I could support others in their quest for good health.
You have made quite a difference for women all over the world, but you have had quite a local impact as well when you were president of the SECU Family House at UNC Hospitals. Tell me about that experience.
Well, that was also a really wonderful and life-affirming opportunity for me. The SECU Family House is a 40-room facility that supports families and patients in critical care conditions at the UNC Hospitals. Through an experience in my own life with critical illness of a family member, I saw what the need was to support those who are having a really difficult time in their lives. It was a great honor to be part of that group and support the building of this great facility in our city, but one that serves the entire state and the region.
Congratulations on receiving the Margaret Sanger Award at the annual Champions of Choice breakfast this week. IPAS is really lucky to have you.
I am lucky to be there. I have amazing friends and colleagues who work every day to make sure that women are able to exercise their rights and make sure that their health is what it needs to be so that they can live the fullest life that they can and that their families can also thrive.
IPAS is an international organization based right here in Chapel Hill that works to ensure that women everywhere have the right to safe reproductive health choices, including safe abortion care. And Katie Early is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Hair Expressions. It's half off. Hair care services at the salon on West Rosemary Street. Get highlights, a shampoo, and style for only $25. Or a shampoo, cut, and style for only $20. and spend only $15 for a men's shampoo cut and style. Carol Spangler has been creating hairstyles for over 17 years and says she keeps caring until the client says it's right. It's half off from Hair Expressions. It's available for limited time, so buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
It's going to be cold all day. High today in the upper 20s. Right now it is 12 degrees.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Here is the equation. Commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship. In Chapel Hill, it all equals community. Chapel Hill, where business is commerce plus.
Danger in the deep cold.
Things can turn deadly pretty quickly.
Stalemate on Syria.
Direct talks were canceled today.
Calorie clarity.
Redesigning that familiar nutrition label.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup.
My face is freezing. I can't believe I'm out here.
The brutal cold and snow is a seasonal annoyance for most of us, but it can make life dangerous and deadly.
Several entrapment at this time. We're sending more medic rigs.
Pile up on Interstate 94 in windy and snowy Michigan City, Indiana.
People driving in here came in.